Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sri Devi, who is here to help update us on the happenings in the project in Cantawamba. Welcome, Sri Devi.
Hi, Jen.
Hey, thanks for being with us.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
Me too. We keep hearing from folks that, you know, we don't want to just hear about the Africa Project during bridgewalk season. Can you please tell us what's going on? So, yeah, as you and I get to hear about it all the time, but, you know, most folks don't. So we thought it would be time to circle back and talk about what's going on these days.
Sure. Well, there is a lot that is going on. So about right now, all of the girls who are in the girls program have just started their second term in school. So they just finished their holiday break and they're all heading back to school, though our college girls are in school all the time. They didn't really get a break, or I guess their break is that during the month that the other kids get, you know, go on holiday, they went on their practicals. So they're actually out in hospitals practicing in hospitals with real patients and getting to learn right in front of them and practice what they've been learning.
And, you know, one of the things that's so fun about that is that for two of the girls, this is their second practical. And for the two that started more recently, it's worth checking out our last trip blog, which would have been, last November, December, which was on that trip. It was when those two got accepted into nursing school. Is that you only get to go do these practicals if you're doing well academically in the program.
Yeah.
And so they're doing well enough to have gone on their practicals, which, you know, it's always so. I mean, it's like, I'm never quite sure if it's as fun to hear that news or as fun to watch how proud Teresa is, kind of the proud mother hen, you know, of her.
And I just have to say on that note, it has been really exciting. You know, we made some in the girls program, and kind of when we went on the Africa trip and we really sat down and we looked at so many different things, there was a shift this year in being really focused on, you know, starting with some younger children, starting with grade ones and grade five girls. We also were able to figure out, now having had spent, I think, a decent number of years trying to understand all of the schools and what schools did what and what schools didn't, we found some schools that we felt were actually much stronger. What we're seeing is that all of our girls are doing so well. And people might have read this, I think, in one of the monastery newsletters, but one of the most exciting pieces of information that Teresa shared recently, that, you know, we have all of these grade one girls. I believe we have 5 or 10 of them. And Edna Peary, who, if people were watching our live broadcast from Zambia last year, you got to see Edna, is the top girl in her entire grade out of all of the grade ones at her school. And that's just amazing and so exciting. And we're just really all so proud.
So proud. And for people who may not have seen it, we're actually in the middle of a 4-week campaign, a booster campaign, which I'll talk about a little bit more towards the end of this. But there's an email that's coming out each week. And so an email came out, it was either today or yesterday. And at the bottom of that email is a picture of Natasha, who is one of the cooperative members in the project, holding Edna, because she's Edna's mom, holding Edna, just like this, look at, here she is, number one in her class. So excited and so proud. So that little story is there at the bottom of that email. So do check it out. Yeah.
And I would just add in what I've been appreciating, you know, because as you and I, we have the wonderful privilege of talking to Teresa weekly, is hearing all of the different ways that this commitment that the cooperative has made, that Living Compassion has made, that the Sangha has made to this community, to these girls, to these children, all of the different ways that it manifests. So, like, for example, we have Edna, who's in grade one, who's starting off in an environment that, you know, is going to be teaching her, that's surrounded by kind of, you know, English first, getting a level of education that's amazing for that young of an age. We have someone like two of our grade 11 girls, Mary Boya, the two Marys, and they saw what was happening with their schools, and they identified that there was a better school that they wanted to go to, and they themselves went and talked to their parents, had a conversation with them, got their parents to get on board, then went to Teresa and said, you know, Mama Teresa, this is what we want to do. And they just started their semester at the school Zora that they're wanting to go to. And Teresa just told us in the last 2 weeks already the difference is huge. They are doing so much better already. And just that thing. So we have this, you know, grade one, Edna's probably 6, 7 years old. And then these grade 11 girls are in grade 11 who are probably 15, 16, 17. And each of them in different experiences and all of them just thriving and advocating for themselves. And that to me, that part is so special. The way that these girls have now feel like they've embraced what is possible and are really, really kind of digging into it going for it. Yeah.
You know, that is such a good point, Sridevi, that I think what you're pointing at is not only is there so much content shift, but that's a whole different mindset to actually be thinking about your own future and to be noticing, oh, wait, you know, I see my friend over here going to this school, and I see that she's getting a really strong education, and I want that for myself, and I'm willing to take the steps to advocate for myself so that I can have that. I mean, I think it's hard for us to see because growing up in, you know, the culture that most of us grew up in, that's just, quote, normal. You know, everyone does that. That's just how it goes. But that's not true for them at all. They're not even used to coming from, you know, most of their parents and certainly grandparents and aunts, uncles, you know, everyone they're surrounded with, most people dropped out of school in fifth grade, sixth grade. I mean, they didn't really have anyone who'd gone to high school, let alone start thinking about college. And so that's what these two Marys that you're talking about, you know, they're seeing Sylvia, Esther, Miriam, mm-hmm. Rachel, the four young women who are now in nursing school. And they're seeing, oh, this actually is a possibility. Yeah. And they're starting to take the steps to make that happen for themselves.
Yeah. And then just one more girl I want to highlight, because I think it's just so exciting, this level of commitment, is Bertha Mutale. Bertha is a young woman who has tried to take her grade 9 exam several times and has not passed. But she is so determined to pass. And this particular year, she is getting tutoring at the Living Compassion property, which is such an amazing thing. If people remember, when we were on our last trip, we really identified that Anne, who's one of the cooperative members, has so much to offer these girls in terms of her ability to speak English, how well she speaks English, her ability to teach. So Anne and Memory together are tutoring Bertha, and Bertha is just about right now to sit down again for her grade 9 exams. And what I've heard from Teresa is they're all so excited because just that level of attention that she was able to get and the commitment that she had and the determination that she has, already they saw improvement. So again, it's just like we have all these amazing examples of these girls and all of the different ways that they are succeeding, whether or not I don't even know how to say it, but it's just really exciting. It's really exciting to see this because I think of where we were 5 years ago and where we are now, and it's mind-blowing.
It's completely mind-blowing. I'll say just very quickly, I can't believe we're almost at the hour here. Wow.
Oh, wow.
But two other things I know we want to highlight. One, I'll say quickly that, and we'll talk more about this because it deserves so much more attention, and it's going to be amazing to see how it pans out. But we're doing yet another pilot program where three folks starting in July are going to be going to a skills program. One of them is Peter, and Sherry's talked about that, I think, on the radio show somewhere in some forum. He's one of our kind of a handy person on the cooperative team. He's going to go to carpentry, a year-long carpentry program. We have another young man who's going to be going to a plumbing program. And then we have Susan, who is the young woman who's in a wheelchair at the property, is going to a tailoring program where she'll learn to sew, she'll learn how to run her own business, et cetera. And those are all year-long programs starting in July. And so that's going to be such another whole other horizon for the program, is to give people that option as well. So, you know, watch for more news about that unfolding. And then I think the last thing you were going to talk about is Prisca.
Yeah, so one of the things that happened on our last visit to Cantalumba was identifying that there was actually some critical health issues that were going on in the community. And, you know, we had a situation where we needed to get some support for Veronica, and I think Jen, you and Veronica and Teresa went to a close-by clinic and found out that they couldn't take the blood pressure, if I'm correct, because they didn't have the right batteries, or their batteries were dead.
They didn't have the batteries for the machine.
They didn't have the batteries.
Literally, that's all that was preventing it. Yeah.
Yeah, and so one of the things that happened is we got the a blood pressure reader or instrument for the property, and Teresa and Veronica have been using it regularly, daily, in fact, to check their blood pressure, which is so important. But Prisca, who is a member of the cooperative, unfortunately has been challenged with her health recently. And just today, in fact, Teresa said they took her blood pressure and it was very high, and they've taken her into the hospital, which is so important. But what's really critical is they would not have known that information without this tool to be able to identify there's something going on with Prisca. Let's see what's happening. Oh my gosh, her blood pressure's so high. We need to really quickly get her to a clinic.
Yeah, yeah. I just think it was such a good, it's such a good illustration of, it's an amazing project and life is really, really hard there. There's so much that they're up against, and how important it is to be part of that community, to have the basic, just very basic tools required, like to read your own blood pressure. And they now, as you say, we have the machine. Teresa said there's so many people who use it now because high blood pressure is a huge issue there for a number of reasons. But so many of the folks use it. In fact, the close-by clinic that you're referring to, they sometimes will bring it down there when the clinic is in trouble and needs it. So they'll loan it out to the clinic. And now they're so much more educated on what are the warning signs, and as you say, getting early intervention and things that actually can be life-saving, because those are the kinds of things that folks die from when there aren't those basic interventions available.
Yeah, and I would just add real quick, Jen, I think also speaking of what the power of this community, this cooperative is they find this information out, and immediately Teresa and Veronica take Prisca there because Prisca's family currently isn't in Endola. Her children, I understand, are not in Endola. So also the way that the community shows up, these members show up, they make sure that they're there. When members are in the hospital, they take shifts watching them. So, I mean, just the whole almost 360 way that this happens is really powerful and amazing, and we see it with our girls, we see it with the children being fed, we see it with taking care of people who aren't well. It's just a really amazing community in Cantalumba.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. And I will say back to the, so for folks who didn't get to hear Good News Update last week, it's worth listening to where we laid out the reason for our booster campaign, and also we're sending out a weekly email for 4 weeks. The second one went out today. And we are inviting 100 folks to join us as $10 a month motos. So to give $10 a month to the project, we're hoping that 100 people will join us. And we have 18 people on board so far, which is about right in terms of human nature. We tend to get warmed up to an idea, right, for the first, you know, third of the time. And then people tend to hop on board towards the end of it. So if you're someone who feels moved by it and that $10 a month is doable for you, we really invite you to be part of the exciting adventure, because it's extraordinary what that team there is doing for themselves and for all of us and for the 1,000 children they're feeding, and it just, the ripple effect goes on and on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Sridevi, thank you so much, as always, for everything you do for the project and for being with us this afternoon.
Oh, thank you so much, Jen. It's always such a joy to be on. I'm so lucky to get to be involved in this way. And I know Teresa would want me to say she sends love and a really big hug to everybody and a huge thank you to all of Sangha for all everybody does to support the community in any way that they can.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sridevi. Thanks for being
with us. Thank
you, Jen. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Sridevi. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry. Sherry, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here and muted. Hi, Michael. Hey, I'm hoping, Michael, I'm hoping Jen won't go too far away because I want to ask her something.
Okay, you want me to unmute her?
Can we keep her around? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, let me unmute her. Jen, you are now unmuted.
Yep.
Hey.
Thanks, Michael.
Hey, Jen.
Hey.
That was so great. I think probably there are a handful of us who have a sense of what Sri Devi's role is in that project and with that mm-hmm. community. That it's just everything. I mean, truly, we could not be doing this without her. I think mm-hmm. that's a fair statement, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I just wanted to acknowledge that the constant, just week after week after week after week, commitment to this is just huge. And then to what you two were talking about, having a sense of the number of people in that community, we can't know this, but I strongly suspect it, who would not be on this planet right now if it weren't for the effort that you make and that Sri Devi and then broadly all of us who participate in this, they just simply wouldn't be here. And
absolutely.
And we know some of them definitely mm-hmm. because we were part of the, you know, participating in the get the person to the hospital, get the person to the treatment. And so we know without that intervention, they would be dead. And, you know, for each one of us who appreciates our life and doesn't want to be dead right away, to just take that in, to try to imagine being in a position, you know, we all know people who stay in jobs they hate because they have health insurance, that benefits.
Yeah.
And that's just it. They make life choices based on, I have health benefits. And to be somebody who has no benefits, you know, there are no choices, no options, no anything. Yeah. If there isn't something like Living Compassion, that's just it. These things happen that are going to happen with a lot more regularity in a place like that than they're ever going to happen in a country like this. And people just simply die. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
The kids die,
the
parents die. You know, everybody dies, but way ahead of time, way ahead of time.
Yeah, and you're exactly right, Sherry. That go ahead.
No, you.
Well, just it's the small things, which is what was the inspiration behind this short little campaign, right? The blood pressure machine that is changing lives. It's not like the $1,000 billion of huge machine. I mean, it's just this one simple thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're so good, you know, they're so on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing casual about these people
mm-hmm.
when it comes mm-hmm. to that sort of thing. I mean, they're gonna get that machine. They're gonna learn how to use it. And the generosity, as you say, it's not, well, this is our machine, and so you know this is for us. It's the clinic needs the machine, so somebody's gonna hot put it down there and get the machine to the clinic because. Mm-hmm. For this group of people, it's saving everybody is as important as saving themselves, which is kind of a bizarre concept for most of us privileged types. But it really is true. So in the other retreat, the Going Beyond Fear, Resistance, and Limitations retreat, there are two people in that retreat who have an ambition to start something very like Living Compassion for people in this country, right?
Mm-hmm.
To create that kind of community where, and this would especially be for people as they get older, which puts people in a culture like this in much the same position it can as people in Cantalomba. You know, mm-hmm. when you get to that point where you need help getting to your appointments and you need assistance with things like checking your blood pressure or, you know, and to have people around in the way that that the Living Compassion community models of somebody's in the hospital and they're going to have somebody with that person around the clock. I've said that forever. You know, nobody should let a loved one be in the hospital by themselves. They just shouldn't. Yeah. You just got to be there with them. And and so these folks want to start this for a Sangha and anybody else who would like to participate in that. And so it's so interesting that that would be our model for how to be with one another under those circumstances.
Yes, what a good point.
That kind of care and concern and unselfish generosity.
Yes, and I think, you know, what's so amazing about watching these four girls go off to college is that, I mean, I was just watching, Sherry, the other day a video of when we got back on the property and we found out that the other two girls had gotten into to the school. And, oh, my God, I could just watch that video over and over again. The reaction of everyone, it's truly, there's no difference between you're the one going to nursing school and I'm the one going to nursing school. It's just everyone
it's
is beside themselves
joy.
Excited.
It's, it's Susan getting her wheelchair.
Yes, exactly.
Right? I mean, that whole community was beside themselves with joy that that girl got that new wheelchair. The same Susan who's going to get to go to tailoring school, by the way, in case anybody didn't put that part together. It is the same one with the same wheelchair. So, and then I wanted to ask you about something else, and then I'll let you go, and we'll get on to announcements and this, what we're doing here. But I... as you know, fell in love with a little girl that I called the princess because I don't know why. She was such a little princess, and she was dressed like a little princess, and she conducted herself like a little princess. And if I'm correct, that's the same little girl who is first in her class.
Oh,
is
that's
true?
Her. Yes.
That's her.
Oh, that's her.
It's so exciting. She was,
I know.
I mean, we were struck there. I was anyway.
Yes.
I got to sit next to her. She was so engaged and so bright. And, you know, you just had that feeling that, that this kid could just, you know, write her own ticket if she had a chance. And and so I was so excited. Her name wasn't on the photograph, so I wasn't sure. But I thought that that was her.
Yeah, it's completely her, Sherry, and I know you have a whole show to do, so I won't go on and on, but, I mean, I could cry, because her mom, Natasha, is just like that. She's a relatively new cooperative member, so I haven't known her as well. I only just started to really get to know her on this last trip, and it's so, I have goosebumps all over, it's so clear
like daughter, like mother?
that she's so, that's her holding it to the, in today's email, her holding Edna. She was probably 15 when Edna was born. And Edna is living the life that was completely possible for Natasha in terms of her intellect and her drive and her, and she didn't get to do it. And so she's so excited. Exactly. Yeah. That Edna's going to first grade, and I know Natasha's going to be one of the people who ends up going to one of these other programs, and it's just going to be an absolute star. I'm positive of it. Yeah.
So thrilling. So,
very exciting.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Jen. Again, thank
all
you.
Right.
Thanks to Sri Devi. You too. It's just... it's a miracle.
And we
that
could
kind
of, I mean, we kind of could go on and on, right? It's like that thing, Sri Devi, and thank you, Ashwini,
forever.
And Sherry, and Bob, and Teresa, and Veronica, and,
Anna, and Phil, and
Anna,
Emma,
and
kids,
Phil,
and,
yeah,
just forever, But you and Sri Devi are really the, you know, the on the ground, just making it happen day by day by day by day. So all of us are happy to play supporting roles whenever we can, but it's important to realize that it takes a tremendous amount of energy and focus in order to make something like this happen. So,
and of course,
thank you.
Just like with all of practice, the more you give, I mean, you feel like you're getting so much that you can't get out of that hole of giving.
I'm looking at that on my refrigerator right now, Jen. The more you give, the more you get. truer words were never spoken, huh?
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Sherry.
Thanks. Thank you,
Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Jen. And I am already lit up, Sherry.
I know you are. That's your program of choice, isn't it?
It is. It's just nothing but goodness all the way around.
Yeah.
It's great. And actually what dropped in about the conversation, particularly around the blood pressure, is sort of a parallel with practice, is I'm just unaware. I just don't have the information. Once I have the information, blood pressure is a thing. I can measure it.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah.
I need to pay attention to it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I get it. Yeah. Oh, the voices. Okay. I see the voices.
Right.
And once you have that information, it's critical and so helpful.
Yes. Yeah. And then you're empowered. Right.
Yes.
Then now you're ready to go. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And that's really important, isn't it? Because in a world where things can often seem more difficult, made more difficult than they need to be, to have something where there's just you just see goodness at every turn, it's really heartening. And
it's very heartening.
Yeah, it's where we want to live.
Yes, great. Shall I jump into these announcements, Sherry?
Mm-hmm. Please.
Okay. The powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreats provide an opportunity to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This foundational work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do. Two retreats are coming up, June 29th through July 6th, and August 3rd through August 10th at the Zen Monastery. Excuse me, at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. And Reflective Listening Buddies offers weekly support for conscious compassion and awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present. The new quarter begins July 15th.
Hmm. Well, those are two foundations, aren't they?
Yes. There's Nothing Wrong With You and Reflective Listening Buddies.
Yeah, different, but equally solid support.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Two new virtual group coaching classes will be offered this summer. Mornings with the Mentors starts August 7th, and Compassionate Eating begins August 14th. These four-week sessions will use weekly calls and email check-ins to provide support and inspiration. Bring conscious, compassionate awareness to your Saturday tasks or any project you choose at an at-home working meditation retreat on August 24th. The day includes exercises, facilitated virtual discussions, mindful eating, and designated work periods. The Family Karma Retreat in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania is not an exploration of childhood trauma or family dynamics from a content perspective, but an investigation of the ego, of the, quote, story of me, unquote. Through this exploration, we will be able to see the many ways that story is still dominating us today, and we'll practice the tools that enable us to transcend ego's control. This retreat, September 2nd through 7th, includes yoga, meditation, and guidance with you, Sherry.
Yep, it's a good one. I mean, they all are. Let's face it. They are.
They're all good.
And that's really true, right? It depends on where a person is in the practice.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you want to do something different. Yeah.
And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And our reminders for today, if you'd like to talk with Sherry and be in the queue, you can press *6 and then 1 to make guest show. And a conversation of about 5 minutes in length and focused on one topic is really great. Okay, Sherry, you ready?
I'm ready. Thank you.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? First caller, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Now we can. Hello. Hey, Beth.
This is Beth in Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh. How are you doing?
Deeply surprised. You're in the headlights. Okay.
Oh, well, just take a second and breathe. No, we're not in a hurry here.
5 minutes is a long time.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, the thing that's coming up is listening to the talk on the blood pressure. When I got my diagnosis, the only information the doctor could give me was how to live in a wheelchair. And that was so repugnant to me that I went out and I've been through, 9 different doctors, and I have a tremendous amount of effort into my own health.
Mm-hmm.
Beth,
are you in a wheelchair?
No, I am not in a wheelchair. I have 2 arms
and
2 legs.
And when did you get that diagnosis?
It was the retreat in North Carolina. It was like 6 weeks before that retreat. So I'm guessing about 8 years, might have been 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and I can talk to you.
Yeah.
And I was told 5 years is all
wow.
I could expect.
Oh.
But, and so the doctor did me a real favor in saying that's the only help I can give you. Because it really forced me out to find ancient healings. And Africa's got a ton of them.
Yeah.
Yes, I can rejoice in, getting the blood pressure and that kind of thing. But there is so much, wisdom that is right there. Here in America, there's a lot of quacks. You got to kiss a lot of toads. But eventually, you find the right frog.
I'm tracking on that one. Absolutely. To me, the most important part of what you're saying for all of us is, we have to take responsibility for ourselves.
Yes, all levels and from
Of course, folks in places, desperately impoverished slums in places like Africa, the responsibility that a person can take for themselves is how they want to be for whatever time they have, which is kind of a foreign concept to people in a country like ours.
Yes, but it's also kind of like getting these tools like blood pressure kits are kind of useful, but they can also be a crutch. And, it's like...
If it lulls a person into believing, this means nothing's going to happen to me. So I have health insurance, so I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, or, you know, it's like, you know, the doctors know everything.
Yeah.
And I have to go, you know, I have to stay with this doctor or, you know,
right.
this system of medicine. And mm-hmm. instead of like, you know, they're, you know, women have been holding the medicine for centuries. And
mm-hmm.
there's, you know, some of the healings that I have encountered have come from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So there's wisdom there that these people have. They have something to give. And they, you know, it's like, yeah, there's this other big thought that's trying to filter through this tiny little mouth. But, and I can see, you know, particularly this last week where I give over my own ancient wisdom, trying
yes.
to seek this other, trying to get help.
Yes. 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 And mostly, again, what the trap that we fall into is not taking responsibility. So
yeah.
it's not either I know best or you know best. it's what now? What now?
Yes.
What now?
Yes. A stance of questioning as opposed to an I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if it's an I know, it doesn't matter whether I know or you know. Right, it's going to lead to the
yeah.
same not good place.
yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to lead to the same not good place.
Yeah.
yeah. And again, that just leaves gratitude.
yeah. Yes, because, right, I mean, we all have a diagnosis. It just,
yes.
it's not quite in everybody's
that.
Face in the same way,
all.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And so we really are in that same place of, I actually don't have choice about, for instance, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next month or that sort of thing. I can do the best I can, but that's not
yeah.
the same as being in control of it. But I can take responsibility for how I am with everything. And that's where our happiness comes from. Right?
I can show up.
That's right. I can show up.
And
I can
get out
grateful.
Of the way.
That's right. And I can love. And I can be happy regardless of circumstances. That much we always have, which is why I get so wound up about, you know, the people in Cantalomba and their kindness with one another, their compassion for one another. And not just their relatives or their friends or the... It's way beyond that. It's just kind of a we are one attitude of mind that makes the circumstances of life what they are. So it's not focusing on you tell me what's wrong in your life and I'll tell you what's wrong in my life and we'll complain and commiserate and that'll be our relationship.
Yes.
It's just not like that. It's such
it's
a focus
a
dance
on the hamster wheel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what's possible for us is to be really alive while we're alive, whatever circumstances we're in.
Yes, particularly in June. I don't want to miss June.
You don't want to miss June, right?
I don't
yeah.
want to miss June.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I hear you.
So I'm sure that was 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, it
so,
was great hearing from you. I'm so glad that
again
doctor
and yet
was
again.
Wrong and was wrong and yet inspiring.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm still working on it.
yeah. Well, aren't we all?
Amen.
yeah. All right. Thanks, Beth.
Down the road.
All right. Go happy.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And Sherry, we are going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here. Sherry, are you there?
Oh, Michael, I have such a bad habit of muting. I'm going to work on it.
Great. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Well, that was a wake up and sit up fast. It's Marianne in Vancouver, Canada.
Hey, Marianne.
Hi, Marianne.
Hey, Sherry, Michael.
Got the heart pumping?
The blood pressure is up.
Right.
I am calling because of something that was shared on the radio show this morning, and I just felt like, oh, I want to follow up on that because it's like, oh, somebody named an experience that I have, but I hadn't seen it. And that was, I think it's sort of, there's a movie about Home Alone, but this was Home Alone with Ego.
Uh-huh.
And home alone, or going home after being with people and stepping in the door, feel, oh, relaxed, relief, and ego takes over and you go into mindless eating or distractions of things. And I guess I just, I just wanted to explore that a bit more and maybe with let other people know about it, too.
Uh-huh. In case anybody missed that show, huh?
Yeah, in case anybody
What I just saw when you said that I don't think we talked about this morning. So there a person is with other people, and there's that self-consciousness, the discomfort. I can't remember what the word was that was used this morning, but that, it's just that being miserable. And I think that it was why do I put myself through this? Why do I put myself in these positions to be with people when it's so uncomfortable? Right? It's just that kind of capture.
I have a slightly different variety, which is, I'm with people, I enjoy it, but when I get home, I have the ego take over, just like.
Okay. So when you're with people, you're not getting that feeling of I need to get away from this. You don't have that going. You just have. In fact, being with other people might be kind of an escape from ego's torture. Is that?
Well, it might be.
Is that what happened?
It's just that it was something that I have recognized, this pattern of being with people, especially if there's lots of food around. And, my appetite is moderate and I'm fine, I'm having a good time. I come home and that's when I eat. I've already eaten, but so it's like it's a reaction to, I always thought it was a reaction to the people, but it might be just a reaction of walking through the door, and this is where ego lives.
Well, yeah, right. Yes, your housemate, right? Yes. Ego. And so is there there's not a sense of stuffing emotion with it, or...
I don't feel that. I just feel like it's like, well, maybe it's a little bit like, oh, now I'm home alone, and there's this little bit of maybe loneliness or aloneness that sets that off.
And so if you eat, then the first of all, that's something to do, right? And it gets usually presented as pleasurable because you get to pick out what you want to eat, right? And so that's enjoyable. And it also does numb anything that you that might arise. So, yeah.
I think that it's also, there's something about... of course, it's right there because it's so slippery.
Well, while it's coming back to you.
I'm sorry. It's just like it's just,
no. It'll be back. It'll be back. The thing that is really helpful to me is that notion that home is where ego lives.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're out with other people, it could go either way, right? Sometimes people just get really caught up with being with other people, and they are not aware of the ego being there. Now, ego may be there completely, but there isn't a self-conscious awareness of ego. Other people, that's all there is a self-conscious awareness of ego, because it's in there talking constantly about, you know, what he's doing and what she's thinking and what's happening with that and what you said and how that's being received and all of that sort of thing. So in either case, paying attention and starting to see where is ego when I'm out with other people. What's going on with ego when I come home, which is what you're doing, right? You're starting to not just, I wouldn't say starting, but you're working on, because you've been started, you're working on that disidentification that enables you to watch the human being and ego in all of the various circumstances of your life. What is the conversation doing? Where is ego? What's its impact? You know, does it seem to just be running the show? Can you tell that you've been taken over? Have you been completely unconscious? You were so taken over that you didn't know you were there, let alone have any idea what ego was doing. Do you then get a report about what you just said or what you did or what people thought? And then, as you say, when you make the transition home, that's somebody was talking this morning about leaving work, right? And how the voices want to start it with a replay of what the day was like and to be present for that and say, well, now, wait a minute, let me give my version of what the day was like. So that steps back observing ego rather than letting ego frame everything for us.
Yes. So I think I see where I can do some more experiments and observations. One of the things I think is that maybe when I'm with people, because I'm an introvert, I get drained quite easily being with, especially if there's a lot of people. I feel emptied by them, and so by them, and so that coming home and filling up with food or other distractions mm-hmm. is a way to somehow a misguided idea about recalibrating to connect uh-huh. with my center.
Well, and it sounds to me like you're questioning the whole identity as an introvert, because what gets drained?
Right.
Not center isn't getting drained. So what is that that's getting drained? And if it's something that can be drained, then we can guess it's not you.
Yes, right. Oh, you're so smart. I love it. I love you for doing that. It's being who you are and saying all these things, because it just cuts right to the chase. You cut right to the chase, Sherry.
Well, good. I'm glad, because you know people could be offended if they weren't such a stalwart practitioner. So, thank you for being a stalwart practitioner.
Well, thank you for the direction, and we'll see. I will be following through on this one.
Good, and letting me know.
I will.
All right. Thanks, Marianne.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Michael.
Bye, Marianne. Thanks for joining us. Sherry, what dropped in right at the end there about cutting to the chase is that one of the things that I value most deeply about practice is just that. What we're trying to do is to get to the core of the issue as quickly as possible, and everything we do works toward that. The privileged environment, yeah. Me speaking about myself, being facilitated to look more deeply. It's really, if you want to end suffering, this is really a great way to get to the core of that quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of as you know, but one of my favorite images, supposedly from the Buddha, was that we are children playing in a burning building. Mm-hmm. And so if that's the case, and we catch on to the fact that we're in a burning building, we don't really want somebody to be terribly gentle or around the mulberry bush or whatever it is with where the heck is the exit? Okay? How do I get out of this burning building?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, yes, you know, exactly. Don't take care of my feelings. Don't try to break it to me gently. Don't just tell me where the exit is.
Yes. Yes. Fabulous. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Nancy from Maryland.
Hello. From where?
Hi,
Maryland.
Maryland. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. So I wanted to ask, I had heard in one of the archived conversations something you mentioned about sort of not dragging other people into the story and accessing wisdom through, like, recording and listening and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if you could say more about that, like in terms of if someone wanted to ask for support from people, as opposed to thinking, you know, like, oh, I can figure everything out on my own and I should never ask for help. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do. I do know what you mean. And it's easy for us to get fooled into thinking those are our two choices.
Mm-hmm.
So I've either got to ask you, or I've got to figure it out on my own. And the dead giveaway there is figure it out. Okay, because in awareness practice, we are never figuring it out. Figuring it out is a phrase that translates to go up into conditioned mind and noodle about something. Just over it and over it and over it and over it, as if, you know, if I go over it for the 1,000,000th time, suddenly I'm going to see something new. But of course I'm not, because I'm just noodling it. So I'm going over the same, right? And so what is the alternative for those two choices? And yeah, you're right. For me, it's awareness practice, and especially recording and listening. Because nobody is ever going to be a greater authority on you and your life than you.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have to do, what you have to do in this case, is learn to be the you whose authority you want to accept.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean, yeah? So you are learning to become the conscious, compassionate awareness who is able to embrace all of Nancy into unconditional love and acceptance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So there's the person who maybe feels overwhelmed or confused or has problems or doesn't know what to do or whatever that kind of identification is, and there could be a dozen aspects of the personality who, you know, you go back and forth between, right?
Yeah.
And so what ego would say is, well, you need to find somebody who can help you. Now, the difficulty with that is it supports the notion that you're somehow inadequate.
Yeah.
Right? Which is never helpful. So you find the perfect person who can answer all of your questions for you. But where does that leave you? You know, you're no better off than you were before, because what if that person gets tired of telling you what to do? Or what if they die? Or what if they whatever? Okay? And so we want to become that access for ourselves. We want to find the route to the wisdom, love, and compassion, so that we can turn to that, so that that can guide us and direct us, and increasingly, that's just simply where we live, in that mm-hmm. wisdom, love, and compassion. And once we're established there, then all those dozens of folks, you notice they went from dozen to dozens, all those dozens of folks who are confused or overwhelmed or feel inadequate or got traumatized or whatever, now they have a place to come for unconditional love and acceptance. Now there's somewhere that they can come for support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whatever is going on, that support is there.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing for me is, I don't know if we've known each other long enough, but I don't have shoulds, okay? I don't have beliefs, and I don't have shoulds, which is very relaxing, very relaxing. And so, you know, I was part of writing a book on depression, and so how do I, what do I talk about in terms of depression? I think with meditation, with awareness practice, and recording and listening, a person can move out of depression and live without depression for the rest of their lives. I think that because that's what happened to me. And so if it happened to me, I figure it can happen to other people too, right? And so people will assume things like I would be against antidepressants, or I would be against therapy, or I would be against rehab, or whatever the heck they would decide I was against. I'm for everything. I'm for everything on the way to becoming the centered, compassionate awareness that can embrace the human being no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So seeking support from other people, there's nothing wrong with that. it's not a problem. You don't want to listen to a voice in your head, make it a contest, but you also want to know that you're using crutches on your way to getting your legs really strong and able to take you at whatever speed you want to go, wherever you want to go.
I like that.
Yeah, good. Good, I'm glad.
Okay.
All right, was there more?
And if one had already sort of dragged people into a certain story and doesn't want to do that anymore.
You have to break the news to them. Oh,
yeah.
No, I'm not doing that anymore. No, I'm not doing that anymore. And you know, in a lighthearted way, you can actually tell people, you know, I just got to the place where I saw that's not really true for me anymore. I don't want to live there anymore.
That is simple. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, people will do with it whatever they do. Usually people who love us are just happy for us that we've moved on, right? Because they don't have to listen to it anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks.
Take care. Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. And Sherry, we are in the unusual situation of no one else in the queue right now.
Uh-oh. I wonder, there are two things that I wonder, because, you know, that's been happening on the morning show, where suddenly, it'll look like there's nobody in the queue.
They're there now.
And Ashwini happens to know there are tons of them. So, or maybe people just said, ooh, I better get in the queue if nobody else is. Did you find somebody?
Yes, very quickly.
Very good. Yeah.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Anna from Seattle.
Hey,
hi, Anna.
How are you?
I'm well. Well, let's see. I just put myself in the queue.
Well, let me ask you this
yeah.
While you decide where you are. How was your reentry after the retreat?
It was good, but wow, I get really identified sometimes. And now I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I need to go to the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat. And that's exactly the time when I don't have to work because the family I work for, they are out of town. And now I'm thinking I need to get back.
Well, come on. You know how to get here.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. As we like to point out, it's the best vacation a person can ever have. Right?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm hearing all those voices. I don't have money, and I wanna support the Africa project, but I actually really don't have any money. But well, I don't know. It's like going on credit card, you know. Things are going on credit card. So yeah, I guess I don't have any money. But yeah.
You really are an American, aren't you?
Yes. I am, I guess. Yeah. So I think the voices, you know, are telling me, well, keeping me stuck in a way, giving me the options, like just two bad options. And then it's just really hard for me to talk about the process. I notice, and so I hear a lot of, and when I try to do the assignments in the mornings, I just hear a bunch of voices, I can't do it. And I really try to do it, but somehow it's really hard for me to think back on situations and put together the process, and I don't know. And right now my brain totally won't do it when I'm on the show.
Well, here's my encouragement. Okay, it's it's when people talk about something like writer's block. Okay, you know, I've got this project to do, and I can't do it. I can't get started. I can't. And so what we can do is just focus on the process that we are in, rather than thinking we need to get through the process we're in order to get to another process. So you would actually see just as much if you were to do, say, a process map on what you just said, on what you just described. You would see as much as you would ever see if you were being allowed to see, you know, the process around the particular content.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, I mean, it's very simple. It's about getting here. So is it just that simple?
Yeah.
I don't need to understand all the other processes.
No.
I don't need to figure them out.
That's right. That's it. Exactly. As we were talking about that earlier, right? You don't need to figure it out. And that's what all the stuff in our head is trying to get us to do, right? It's just trying to get us into a conversation. But if you just stay in a, whatever, and you're just here, you're here, then before long you realize there's the guidance is there. Oh, I think I'll fix dinner. Oh, I didn't finish those dishes. Oh, I need to go to the store. Oh, I want to work on that paper. Right? And it's just there. It just happens.
Yeah. Yeah, because of, you know, ego wants to say, I mean, all the time, you should be doing this. You should be. It's so funny.
That's
right. I'm seeing this person out here. She is holding the hose of water above her head. She's taking a shower right now.
Good for her.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, you got it, exactly. And, you know, if it, so you want to come on the retreat and you can't really afford it and that sort of thing, and you're, you know, I mean, everybody gets nervous about putting things on credit cards, right, because that's a, we know that can be an iffy, shaky thing.
Well,
and
I've
so
been doing
you,
it. It has been working well so far.
Oh, good. Oh, you put it on and you pay it off.
And, but I'm
good.
Paying it off in time, but I never have the extra. I don't have the money, and then I, you know, it's like a weird pattern. But I do pay it off.
That's good. I don't have to worry about it. What I was going to say is if you know, your job is on hold for a while because people are away and that sort of thing, you might actually decide you want to come to the monastery, but you might also, it might also occur to you that you would like to find something else to do that would give you extra income and be an opportunity to, you know, have a little workshop on watching process and just see what unfolds rather than, again, going up into conditioned mind for the you should, but just to take the opportunity to be open to what life provides for you, suggests for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No shoulds.
Yeah.
What you shouldn't do is anything that the voice in your head says you should do.
Okay.
That's a little joke. But it is kind of a good rule of thumb. That anytime we hear somebody talking to us about what we should or shouldn't do, we really do want to pay attention. Stop, sit still, breathe, see what see what comes to you. Yeah?
Yes, yes. Okay, well, thank you very much. I have an appointment at 6. Okay.
Well, I think I do too.
Oh,
it's
yeah?
Called not doing this show. Yeah. So yes. Thanks for putting yourself in the queue.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Yes. Go show.
Thanks for joining us, Anna, and thank you, Sherry, and thank you, Sonka.
Michael.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks to everyone.
It was a great show.
Yeah.
And go happy.
Go happy.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.